Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have tuned in to the broadcast for this morning and midday supplication of intercessory prayer and to hear word from the Lord. Truly, the Lord is good. He has brought us to another day. And we are so grateful to be alive. We take not it for granted, because if it had not been for the Lord who is on our side to give us life, health, and strength, and the beauty about it, he has given us joy and love from our families and those that are associated in our lives. And so we can be a blessing. We can have the spirit, the joy of the spirit, to just release it unto other people's lives, to be a blessing. And encourage everyone with the word of the Lord. That's what it's all about, praise the Lord. God has called us to this place in life where the Bible said we must work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. So we got to continue the work of the Lord and put his word out there. Go into all the world, you know, and preach this gospel and encourage one another, praise the Lord. So we're going to go into a word of prayer, go before the throne of grace. And those of you that are tuning into the broadcast, if you desire to call in, we will give you that number, praise the Lord. We are in the studios, per se, and we are going to go before the throne of grace, and then right after that, we're going to get into the word of God. Won't be before you long today. We just want to say and do what thus saith the Lord, and we all can go on about our day. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be alive. Thank you for your spirit, Lord, that has just given us life in you, Lord, life and life more abundantly. Your word declared that you have came to give us life and life more abundantly. And, Father, we just want to enter into your rest today. We want to come before the throne of grace and enter into your rest. Father, your word declared that Israel did not obtain the promise because they did not enter into your rest. There is a rest, Lord, that you have given unto the saints, God. When we enter into that rest with you and cast our cares upon you, for you will sustain us, you care for us. So, Father, send your spirit to those, Lord, that need healing, deliver a touch, God, of encouragement, Lord. Increase their faith to believe and trust you, God, and to hold fast to your promises, Lord. Hallelujah. And stir up the gift that is inside of them, Lord, where they can feel your presence, Lord, where they can be assured of your presence, God, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, God. Give them what they need, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word that quickens us and makes us alive, God, your word, God, that puts the joy, the hope down in our heart, Lord. So, Father, we want to release your spirit by prayer. You said the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, God. So we pray that our prayers avail much, God, in the realm of the spirit, God, where the angels will excel, God, in strength, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, on the behalf of your people, and encourage them and lift them, God, and begin to release miracles, God, and provisions for them, Lord, and answer their prayers and give them the desires of their heart, Lord, that job, Lord, that they're waiting, Lord, to get an answer from. Oh, that business situation and contract, God, that they want to come through for them, Lord. That healing that they need, God. Salvation for their loved ones, God. Protection, Father, for their families, Lord. Peace to their mind, God. Father, you say, in you we shall have peace, but in the world we will have trouble. So, God, we find our peace in you today, God. You're the lifter of our heads, God, and we say, thank you, Jesus. That hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So, God, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, God, that moves us and pushes us forward, God, and compels us, Lord, into our destiny, God, moving us forward with faith, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word, the living word that you came to give us, God, to understand your will and what you're doing, Lord. We bless you on every occasion in our life, God, and give you the glory. We submit ourselves, God, and ask that you will take control, that you will have your way in our lives, God. We know that you're bigger than anything that we ever face. We know, God, that you can do anything, God. Part the Red Sea, Lord God, for the Israelites, Lord, your people to walk through on dry ground. So, God, that same faith, God, may those, God, hallelujah, that are dependent and looking towards you, God, because their expectations are from you. May you, Lord God, show yourself mighty and strong on their behalf, God, that they will never doubt you, that they will always believe that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all they're able to ask or think, God. And you know their names, God, and you know where they're at, God, and you know what they need, Father. So we thank you, Jesus, that according to your word, you will do just what you say, because faithful is he that call us, and he will do it. So we bless you today, God. May the joy of the Lord continue to be all of our strength, God, and we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So thank you for grace today. Thank you for mercy today, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that's quick and alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Jesus, that thou knowest all things altogether. So, Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you all, Lord God, of the glory. Hallelujah. That's due unto your name. Father, we just want to lift our hands. Hallelujah. Those of you that are on the broadcast, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, you just lift your hands. Lift your hands to the Lord. If you can lift your hands, praise God. Give him the glory and the praise for what he has already done and the things that he's going to do in your life. Hallelujah. Receive by faith and know that God loves you so much that nothing will ever happen to your life outside of his will. That he's ordering your steps every morning. The Bible said that his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, his compassion. He's amazing, God. And we bless him today. He's worthy, so faithful. So, Father, we just bless you. And may the peace that surpasses all understanding be upon your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He deserved the praise. Hallelujah. The Bible says if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. And I certainly don't want no rock crying out for me. Let everything, the Bible says, that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. We have to exalt the Lord. He's king of the earth. He said, I am lifted up from above the earth, that I would draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. So God has the ability through our praise to draw people unto him. If we lift him up, because we give others hope by trusting in the Lord so he can prove himself unto them. Hallelujah. All it takes is a mustard seed of faith. The Bible says a mustard seed of faith. Faith can move mountains. God honors the smallest faith, praise the Lord. You don't need a lot. Many of us have a lot, but you really don't need a lot. Hallelujah, a mustard seed of faith. I tell you one thing, the reason why many of us have a lot is because we have seen a lot in God, and we have that strong faith to believe and stand on his word, and we know him now because he's proven himself and showed us many things, hallelujah. But then there's those that don't have but a little bit of faith, a mustard seed of faith, hallelujah. That's all you need to move mountains. That's all you need for God to move it for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your trust in the Lord, the everlasting rock of our salvation. The Bible says from that rock we draw from wells of living water. Praise the Lord. Jesus and salvation is in that well of water. So we bless him and we give him the praise on today. Hallelujah. It's so good to bless the Lord. We can go on and on with lifting up his name, praise the Lord. There's no better place than to be in the presence of the Lord. No other place than to be in the presence of the Lord. And we thank God that he has given us his word that is coming to heal and deliver his people, praise the Lord. And so I'm going to begin to read from a scripture in the book of Ezekiel. This is what the Lord has given me today. And we want to read a couple of these scriptures. Let me get these other pair of glasses and so I can read the scripture clearly here. And we want to get into the Word of God. Let Him bless us. Let Him confirm His Word. We want God to reassure us of His promises. And in a dark world that we live in, we must have hope. We must see God in His Scripture for who He is, and that He's coming to deliver His people despite the persecution, despite the suffering, despite the things that His people are going through. There's a word, praise the Lord. God understands, and many people are in a lot of opposition against the enemy of their souls. You know, the Bible said we have an adversary, and the adversary is against our souls, and he fights us daily, the Bible say, oppresses us. And what that means is that it's worldwide. It's a spirit. The enemy that comes to try to divide and conquer. But thanks be to God, the Bible says that we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, Paul said that we have the victory, and we're overcoming through the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So let's look here in the book of Ezekiel, praise the Lord. And this is a word, praise God, that the Lord is giving because of His all-knowing, powerful, omniscient power of knowing all things and doing all things, having all power, that He knows of the adversary that we're dealing with. Of course, it is the devil. All of us have an adversary, but we're going to talk about it on a larger scale, worldwide, and God's people everywhere that are suffering at the hands of their adversary, of the persecutor. And I want to begin at, let's begin at chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to begin at the first verse because we're going to go all the way to the end of chapter 28 because it talks about God's promises that after He deliver, after He rid our lives of the enemy, there are promises. And we have to believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Believe the report of the Lord. The prophet asked, whose report will you believe? We have to believe the report of the Lord. So Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, excuse me, let me stop right there, the prince of Tyrus, you know, this is this evil ruling force. Tyrus is always when you see Tyrus, when you see different names of certain kings during the time that reigned. And they were enemies of God's people. So it says, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now, you know, there are many people that fit this description because Satan is ruling inside of their hearts. And a lot of people feel like they are indestructible. That's why they can say anything. That's why they can do anything. Because they have no restraint. They have no Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to minister grace to them and help them to be otherwise, especially more like Christ. You don't have the spirit of Christ, like the Bible says, you're none of His, because your mind and your heart and your spirit can't be conformed. You won't allow your mind and your heart to be conformed like Christ in all lowliness. The Bible says, with all lowliness of mind. All lowliness of mind means being very humble, not being lifted up in pride in our heart against people. But there are many people that have this same heart as the Bible is describing for the prince of Tyrus. Let's read it again. Thus saith the Lord, this is verse 2, the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse 3 says, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thine riches. Let's stop right there. I want to elaborate here, do a little bit of commentary here on these scriptures, what the Lord is saying about this prideful heart of Tyrus, the prince of Tyrus. And for anybody that has this heart and this spirit where you feel that you are God, you know, and some people feel like they're God of their own life. And so the Lord is saying that, you know, these people, if you're like this, you think you're wiser than God. And in your understanding, you've gotten these false riches and silver and treasures. And by your great wisdom and by traffic, thou hast increased riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. That's why God told Paul to warn the church, told him to, you know, warn the church, those that are rich, not to be lifted up in pride. Because money is temporal, but salvation in Jesus is eternal. The word is eternal. So he wanted that balance, even with the saints. You know, there are saints very prosperous, you know. And that's what, if God bless you, we said it on the broadcast yesterday, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So we said that, of course, he doesn't want the saints to be lifted up in pride. It's that same balance of understanding the word with all humility. And let's look at verse 6. It says, therefore saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile the brightness. Verse 8 says, they shall bring thee down to the pit, thou shall die, the death of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. This is a very strong verse, because this is talking about the judgment and the destruction of God for those that walk in pride and walk in arrogance. And, of course, recently we've been talking about, you know, the recent and circumstantial things that are happening here in America. I keep having to go back to that. And what has happened to God's people, ancestors, being brought over here, we experiencing a lot of things here, of course, all over the world, we know that. But however, when we relate things, we make it specific, and this is the day we're talking again about what's happening here in America to God's elect people and elected chosen people. So when these people that have this type of pride, God is talking about retribution here for his people again. Because, see, the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he uses vessels, bodies, people to do his work. That's why the saints have to watch and pray and be alert, fully alert. We can't be sleeping in these times. The Bible says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because the enemy will try to snare you, set a trap. The Bible says, but we are not ignorant of his devices. But the only way you can have this wisdom of God and to resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee, is to be in God's presence every day. It takes that every day. Not some days, it takes it every day. We wake up to be in the presence of God. There's no other way that we're supposed to live. Because we're saints, we are in the spiritual walk with God, and so we alert, vigilant, because we have enemies all around. Now, God is saying what he's going to do, verse 7, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom and shall defile thy brightness. This is another nation that God is going to bring against the nations of God's people, enemies. He's able to do that. And I must iterate it here, insert this in here, because a lot of people, when we do prayer, we have the broadcast, and, you know, you see a lot of ministries, everybody just want to receive all of the blessings, but they don't want to hear the corrections. God is a God of love. He's also a God of judgment. And just because we preach on all of the bountiful blessings he's going to release and have faith, we preach faith, we preach encouragement, we preach everything that just lifts people up above their circumstances. We always do that. God calls us to do that. What people don't realize is that when God is speaking a word of judgment, then we need to be able to hear the word of the judgment because it's for our good. It may be not a shouting hallelujah message and yes, right on, and you're looking for something really good for your own personal gain, but you have to realize when God is speaking a judgment, he's speaking it worldwide, not just to scare anybody individual, but he wants us to know what he is doing in these end times. And we can't relent or back up just because people want to hear what they want to hear. Because you'll be a false prophet then if you say only what you want to say, and then when God gives you the hard stuff to say, you don't want to say it. Because some people just don't want it. They don't know. We have to say what thus saith the Lord. Because deliverance for God's people and what he's doing is on the way. People don't realize if, when there's no repentance, then people have to pay for their sins. God don't wink his eye at sin anymore when people don't repent. There's nations that don't repent. They don't even teach their people to repent or pray to the real God, the Lord, Jesus Christ. So there's no repentance. So what does God have to do when there's no repentance in an individual life or either in a nation? You remember Jonah when he went down there to Nineveh? When Jonah went to Nineveh and God gave him a word, a warning, a judgment to tell the people what thus saith the Lord and for them to repent, and Jonah didn't even want to do it because he wanted God to just destroy him. He felt, why are you sending me? You're not going to do nothing but give them another chance. Well, the Bible says that warning always comes before destruction. So God always sent a warning because he says not his will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. And we said yesterday that God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked because what, people are human beings. He created them, and he is a God of love. But again, he's also a God of judgment. And he sent a warning, a woe, for people to be able to have a chance to repent if they hear the word of God. That's why he said that the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as they did in the day of provocation. And they perished, the ones that didn't hear, the ones that didn't adhere to God's word, they perished. The ground swallowed up, opened up and swallowed many of them. The plagues killed a bunch of them. God is alive and real, that he sees the unrepentant heart. So out of millions of people that are just going the broad way to destruction, there's somebody that can hear the message and repent, just like the town of Nineveh, as I will get back to that story quickly and we get ready to get back into the scripture. We're going to pick back up at verse 8. But with Jonah, when God sent him, the whole nation repent. The whole nation repent. Whole city repent. They even had the animals to fast. Because the people wasn't even saved. They were uncircumcised people. But when they heard the word of the Lord, they wasn't stupid. They wasn't crazy. They didn't ignore it. Something happened in that king's heart where he heard the Spirit of God. He heard the word. He had a fear. There was something still in him to fear God's name. And he commanded the whole city to fast, pray, and repent. He said it could be that he will relent and not destroy them in the book of Jonah. And God gave that whole city a chance and did not destroy them because they repented. That's why many of the prophets was persecuted and stoned back in the day. When they come with a sword, the word of the sword, the sword of the spirit, the word of God, cutting in words of judgment, people didn't want to hear that. They wanted them to say, peace, peace. And Jesus was saying, God was saying, it wasn't a time for peace. It's a time for repentance. So we say, well, thus saith the Lord. And we pray that just by chance streaming through this social media that somebody will repent. Somebody, any and everybody, and perhaps someone that's in a main position in corporate world or in government that have influence will hear, read the word of the Lord. Maybe the word of the Lord will come and confirm something to you that you had answers about. And then you hear that the word of the Lord say, repent. It may coincide with your spirit and you humble yourself and you repent. And don't influence others to do evil. That's what I was getting to if you're in these high places and positions. There's a place for humility and love. The Bible says that he dwells with the lowly in heart. Those that are broken and contrite. A broken and contrite heart, the Bible says that he don't despise. He wants to see us broken. He wants to see us crying. He wants to see that we need him. He don't want us to parade in pride like we have it all together. We don't need no one and I can fix it myself and it doesn't matter. He wants us to be broken as humanity, broken in our spirit that we'll be able to be more like him. And we have to change our world, our spiritual perspective in how we see others. Because our relationship with others really is basically our test on earth that's going to determine whether we are the righteousness of God because we obey him because we have the spirit in us. We're under a test. That's why they love your enemies. We're under a test. Seeking you love your enemies so that you can, you know, reflect his glory. So what God is saying here in Ezekiel chapter 28, we look at verse 8, it says, they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Verse 9, wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and know God. You're not going to be a God, he says. You should be a man and know God. In the hand of him that slayeth you. Because God creates circumstances with pride and arrogance that really humbles a person. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. God had to bring him all the way down to a beast that ate from the ground. You know, strip him of all his dignity. And there was a king in the books of Acts that had pride as well. And because he was king and God let him reign, the Bible said that God struck him down because he didn't give God glory. He didn't give God glory. God don't like that. With any king, any authority, any leadership or anything like that, when we don't give God the glory for what he's doing and abase ourselves, humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he don't like that. It's very dangerous to walk in pride. And he knows what pride is in each of us, that he has to keep chiseling a way out, get it out. Because pride births hate. Pride birth all type of envy and jealousy, and pride puts a person to a place where they feel like they are God. of their life. A lot of people want to be powerful in the gospel, and just because you're powerful and you have an anointing and you can do all this, we're not supposed to balance our life out with humility and love. That's what gives you the power to say thus what thus saith the Lord, because you're not parading in your own strength. You know where your help comes from. And so this whole book in Ezekiel chapter 28 is dealing with the pride of the prince of tyrants. That God had to send a word to him. Many of people, the prophets, God had to send a word to him. And sometimes God will show these leaders and princes that they have this pride. In the case with the dream that Daniel had to interpret for the king, God had already showed him. That's why the Bible says that warning come before destruction. Everybody have a platform or something that they don't want people to really know all about their life, and, you know, just want to put on a persona that they are bigger and larger than they really are. And the reason why I say that is because God sees our hearts, and he knows what he's dealing with us about. You have to remember that God, he can create a situation for you. Let me say that again. He can create a situation for you that will get that out of your heart. The Bible says, he that is often reproved shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. It'll come on you like a bandit, real fast, when God deals with people with pride. And leaders have the most test of pride. Leaders. They're the ones that have the greatest test. The greatest test is to test their character, their pride in the day of adversity. So we'll go a little further here. He's asking a question in verse 9. Will thou yet say before him, thou slayest thee? Thou that the person, will thou yet say before him that slayeth you, I am God? Are you going to still say you God when God send your enemy against you to bring judgment? That's why we talked about yesterday as a nation that God is calling people to repentance. And as related to the covenant and the promise of God for Israel and Judah, there's a call for repentance as well for God's people to come out of disobedience and repent. You know, some people are really, really out there that come out, come back and obey the commandments and live in the spirit with God, walk in the spirit, let him lead our lives as a nation of people. We're just talking about the Negroes here in America, for what we are experiencing. This is a series of teaching on the same thing, because that's what God has it at. That's just it. It's a series. Some people, you know, calling in, listening in, maybe wondering how long we're going to talk about that. It's a series. Have to say what thus saith the Lord, if I had ever longed. He said so. It's a series, because this is what he's dealing with in America. Can't just look at the news and just say, oh, you know, oh, another one. Oh, no. There's a clarion call. There's a call to repentance. What is God doing in the last days? Everybody got a prophetic word about it. What have God showed you about these last days and end times that we're living in here in America under what we're experiencing as the Negroes? At the hand of the Edomites and other nations of people, Caucasians, and other nations of people that are bind together with them. The Holy Spirit said a lot of times people want to draw back and try to hinder your strength to go forth to do what God is telling you concerning the issue that God is addressing. When the spirits of the world are raising up. The enemy don't even have no shame. The Bible says they don't have any shame. The world can parade what they're doing. They can parade and promote their hate, and they can show you in your face. But then when the word of the Lord comes to bring correction, to speak a prophecy, to speak restoration, nobody wants to receive it. Why is that? Oh, Lord, have mercy. But thank God for the prophets of old that still stood up. They still preach and teach the word of God. Because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God will never let the enemy have reign over his people. Evil can't reign over God's people. The saints are very precious to God. All saints that have came into the body of Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ from your heart and he knows you, God will never let the adversary reign over the body of Christ. We are in the kingdom of God. We are different. And all of the calamities that are going on around the world and what we see, we are not a part of that. We're not in the number of his judgment that he's going to recompense for that. We're not a part of that. We are in the body. We're the saints of the Most High. The Bible says that we may what? Escape the wrath that is to come. And it talks about the perseverance of the saints, the patience of the saints, to endure what is going on in our world today. So God wants his people, his elect people, and all those that have been grafted in, that's living for Jesus, to know that you're in the ark of safety. And he's our anchor. So we look at, we'll go a little further down here. He says, thou should die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, it saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 12 now, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the pearl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carnelian and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Talking about Lucifer. You know, people that once had it all, God blessed them. But then pride lifted up in their heart. That's why the Bible says, you know, you got to watch your heart. What are you pursuing in life? What are you chasing? And how hard are you chasing it? How hard are you chasing it? Are you chasing the worldly pursuit of things to let other people see you, that you're more powerful, you're more better, you're more richer, you're more beautiful, you know, what are you doing it for? The Bible says sometimes we have not because we ask not, and we ask amiss. Know what amiss is? It's you're just asking for some reason, some invalid reason. The intentions of the heart is not right. When your intentions of the heart is not right, then that's what God, you know, the Bible says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it divides the soul from the spirit down even to the marrow, to the intents of the heart and thoughts. He knows why we want what we want. And he tries with the saints and everyone that will call on the name of the Lord. He wants us to not ask amiss. Don't consume it upon our flesh because somebody else had it. We coveted it. Don't consume it upon your flesh because you want to try to prove it something to others. Let it be an aspiration just for yourself to accomplish something and you feel good and you do what God wants you to do in that, because he gives us purpose. And again, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Let's go a little further and look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the days thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. That's that iniquity of pride, covetousness, envy, jealous, strife. Lucifer wanted to be like God. That's why gratitude is very important. Because you can appreciate what you have where you are. That's why Paul said that we should learn how to abase and abound. But when you don't do this and you're in authority, you tend to rule with an iron fist. And you lord over and oppresses God's people, all God's people, because all believers in Jesus are going through something. Because he's the enemy of our soul. He persecutes us. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I'll cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Judgment is coming. When you try to be like God and you parade around in pride, judgment coming. Judgment coming. Judgment is coming. That's what I hear the Holy Spirit say. Judgment is coming. And it's coming speedily. Verse 17 says, if you just not tuned into the broadcast, we're in Ezekiel 28, now we're in verse 17. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold you. Lay you before kings that they may behold you. Verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary. And I am reading from King James, and sometimes I put the English verse, D-U, you know, it says here, let's go back up to 17, and they may behold thee, thee. So I'm reading from King James, so I got to keep it like that. Verse 18 says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. Like an astonishment, shame. God can do that. That's why it's not good for people to think that no one can bring you down. Or you're above everyone. Let me say it like that. So the Bible tells us to esteem others better than ourselves, because we can avoid all of this. You can avoid the judgment of God when you esteem others above yourself, when you consider others above yourself, when you can. The Bible says that he makes his dwelling with the lowly. He makes his habitation among the lowly in heart. That's why the Bible says, consider not those of high standards and high places, but contend unto those that are low. No matter who you are, what you have. He wants us to have that lowly heart. The Bible says that man at his best state is altogether vanity. We can put on a good show that we this and we that. But all the Bible says, at your best state, at our best state, we still altogether vanity. Vanity. Because we forget who's in control. That should make us humble right there when we know we're not in control. So a lot of people are in trouble for having violence and doing a lot of violent things because they forgot who's in control. And when you forget who's in control, then that makes you feel like you're in control, and then you do and make decisions that doesn't really reflect the glory of God, and it brings forth pride. We don't want pride in our hearts. We don't need pride to take over. Let's go a little further here. It says, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Verse 20 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Zidon, or Zidon, they pronounce it Zidon, Zidon, and prophesy against it, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgment in her, and shall be sanctified in her. And I will send her into pestilence and blood into her streets. And the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. And they shall know that I am the Lord. This is his judgment. Verse 24 says, and there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despise them. See, God sees it. He sees it. Those that despise them. It's not going to be like it was before. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. Verse 25, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. God is going to do something with Israel and Judah. He's going to do something with his people. He's going to do it in front of the heathen. Everyone that felt and look at us as an astonishment. God said he's going to do something in front of the heathens that has always looked at us unworthy. You know, especially when you talk about not being worthy of the promise. So it says here, let's read verse 25 again. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered. Oh, yeah, from the people among whom they are scattered. Mm-hmm. He knows who we are among, who's among us. He's going to gather us. He's going to restore us. And it says here, among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. Then they shall dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. This is talking about God's people and his promise to them. His promise is still coming forth. His blessings are still coming forth for his people, Judah, Israel. God has not cast us off. It's just not normal living every day to not think about what God is going to do to restore our nation of people, the Negroes. Oh, yeah. We have to talk about that because we have to be restored. We have to be restored and receive the promises of God that he has declared in his word. Hallelujah. That's a fact. People don't want to look at the word of God like that. And, you know, again, people probably still saying, you know, she's preaching division of races. No, you said that. I'm teaching the word what God's going to do in the end time for his people. All his nation that are shepherds. This is what he says. This is not my word. This is God's word. I'm just the oracle, just the vessel that he's using to get it out there. What he said, he's going to restore his people, Judah, Jacob, Judah, Israel. We have to look for that. Our nation of people, the Negroes, and also those grafting in, should be happy to look for the restoration of God's people, because you look around, you've seen what happened for centuries now. You've seen the bondage. You've seen the captivity that we've been in. That doesn't just go away because there's an answer in the Word of God for it. And whether people like it or not, that's just what God says it is and how it's going to be. You have to read it and accept it. You can't hide it. You can't hide the restoration that God is saying he's going to do for Israel and Judah. We are still alive. Our ancestors went through all of that captivity, and we're still alive. We're the offsprings of our ancestors. So the promises of God that he made to Judah and Israel, we're still living, and we're still the offspring of that same inheritance. So that has to come to pass according to the word of the Lord. Because God deals with nations, the people, and he's talking to the nation of Judah and Israel here. And we already distinguished that. So let's go a little further. We get ready to get off the broadcast. We only got about two more verses. And it says here, let's read, we read verse 25, beautiful verse of his deliverance and God restoring us. And we read, let's read verse 26. And they shall dwell safely therein and shall build houses and paint vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence. I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them, about them, around about them. Let's read that again. I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them, around about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Woo! Praise the Lord. I thank God for the word of the Lord, because a lot of people want answers, and you see all type of things happening in the United States with our nation of people. And I think even some of the people that have power in the world, they don't even know what to do. They don't know what to do. You see people on the TV, you have people that are have their own TV shows. And so when they have their own TV shows and things like that, and they have this name out there, you will hope that they're standing up for our nation and, oh, something's going to happen, they're going to do something. But, you know, it really had to play out, because no one really could rescue us but God. People always want to know, why did God allow the Negroes to go into bondage and captivity, why we always been treated like that? That's why a lot of people just don't know how to serve God, because they don't have answers. They don't even know why would God let his people go through anything like that. And they'll never understand it until they get into the word of the Lord. It gives us all the answers in scriptures. Why did he allow it? Because of our disobedience as his elected people. So he'll allow these nations to rise up against us, these nations of people that, especially we're talking about America, that the way they have done. And so when you get into the word of the Lord and you get into scriptures and you see it, it's just right there, come alive. So it helps you to easily to deal with what's going on here in society, because you have your eyes on God, because he's already promised a restoration. He's already promised our nation of Negro people a restoration. And also the Caucasians, some Caucasians that have suffered with us and other, like, you know, other nations of people that have really been out there for our nation to try to mediate in between the wrong for us, to do civil rights activists and things like that. They have been a voice. They have really been a voice, many people. So they suffered right along with us. We cannot forget them as well. So we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and look for the promise. The fulfillment of the word that's coming to pass of judgment is at the door. And we don't have to say that Just because we feel like we want something, God, to hurry up and do something, this is what the Lord is speaking now. We don't have to be anxious. You know, that's what happened with, excuse me, when Jesus came on the scene and he came in Jerusalem on that, you know, coat of an ass, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest, you know, they were glad. Many of them were glad. But many of the Pharisees and Sadducees and the other Jewish people of the synagogue, they wasn't too fond about Jesus. They wanted him to come on a chariot, as king as he is, and annihilate all of their enemies. But he came, you know, lowly on a donkey. He came, you know, he did a, I don't know what you call it, but he switched it up on him and came riding on a donkey instead of riding on a chariot with a sword. Because he loves people and he wants to give people a chance to repent. And they didn't like him like that. And that's why we have the new covenant of grace to allow others to come on in and receive Jesus. And to call his people back to repentance. And so I said that because a lot of times people don't want to receive the time that God is speaking judgment. This is his time now. And we don't know what impending judgment that God has already decreed and declared for America and other nations that have forgotten God. We don't know what impending judgments are going to happen. He just, when he says judgment, it's just judgment. He don't, you know, we see dimly through a smoke glass. God don't show us everything, but he give us the word. But when it happened, just like it happened with Jeremiah prophesying and speaking the word of the Lord, telling them to humble themselves and, you know, what was going to happen to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. But they wanted to persecute him and, you know, and cast him aside for telling the people to be humble, going into Babylon and settle down and build houses and take care of your family, because this is going to happen. You know, there's nothing you can do. It's going over there, you know, because this is going to happen. You know, some of the catastrophes that has happened in America, you know, there were many other people God spoke to and showed it to them before it happened, you know, and many were obedient to declare the word of the Lord of repentance. God don't let evil go on forever. He don't let evil go. And that should be hope to a lot of people's ears. God don't let injustice reign forever. There's a cutoff date, and so we thank God for that. That's hope for a lot of people, and we just keep everyone in prayer all of our lives. Because God is able to save to the utmost. There's nobody beyond God's reach. Nobody beyond God's reach. The Bible says, you know, we sang that song, rather, his blood reaches to the lowest valley and to the highest mountain. He's able to save to the utmost. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the whole thing about it. We don't bring forth a message to just, you know, bring forth our opinions and make others feel some certain kind of way. God is speaking to all people to repent. I just keep hearing it in my spirit, in my soul. And to come out of Babylon. You will recognize that you were in Babylon when you come out and repent. How would you recognize it? Well, when you stop being involved in the lies of Babylon and the dishonesty of Babylon, in the hatred and seduction of Babylon, you start living a life like you want to be more like Jesus. Yeah, you're going to experience some persecutions, but at the same time, your life and your mind and soul will be free. But you don't have to put on because others want you to be in that tumult of conspiracy with them against other people, and especially God's elect people, his nation, his special nation, his called out one. Everybody's special that loves the Lord. So we say his called out, chosen, elected one. Come out of that. Like, open your eyes. Don't be blind. Come out of that. Come out of that seduction of being racist, no matter what color you are. Come out of that seduction of being in those conversations like that. Because when you in the Bible, when you a believer, you take the Bible for what it is. And everything that Jesus says in the new covenant, especially in regards to the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, walking in love and in peace, and following peace with all men, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. You know, and thinking on things out of virtue, you know, having the mind of Christ, doing as much as you can, and letting him work with you and sanctify you along the way as he's chiseling away all that stuff, your life become peaceful. That's why Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but in me, you shall have peace. Because the Bible says, it's hard to kick against the prick. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The way of transgression is hard. When you don't want to do it like the Bible, when you don't want to live it's painful sometimes because you have to take a lot of things from people because you can't retaliate like your flesh wants you to. That's a battle. But God helps us. So I thank God for all of you tuning into the broadcast. I thank God that the word of the Lord has been spoken. And we can walk in the light of his word and we can, you know, rely upon the strength of the Lord. You know, we go in the strength of the Lord in anything that we do. We don't, the Holy Spirit is here in lifting and strengthening, and the anointing is here, the heavy spirit of his kabob, his glory. Because it's him, it's his spirit, and he's calling, and he wants people to be filled more with his spirit, to know him in that higher dimension of humility. Mm-hmm. We can talk bold and be strong in our teachings and preaching, but you know what? In our heart, it should be holy, lowly, lowly, holy and lowly. We know better. Saints know better. Leaders should know better and know how to lead. People will follow you when you know how to lead in a godly way, honest way, be upfront, transparent with people. The only thing I can see in the spirit right now, God say, he's just showing me how to love people the right way. Your heart may not want to do it, but if you want to be followers of Christ, the Bible says you have to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow after Christ. There's a denying yourself. That hurts because you want to be you. We want to be ourselves. But when you think about spending eternity with Jesus and being more like him, whew, then you really have to ask God to help you to have that lowliness of mind. It doesn't mean that we're perfect and we don't want false humility. We don't want false humility because surely we make mistakes, but you don't want false humility. We don't want that. We want to be striving for the masteries to let people know I'm on this journey. I'm striving for the masteries. He's working on me. He's working on me to love people that I don't want to love. He's working on me to be lowly and humble, to not be arrogant and think that I have it all, I know it all. He's working on me. Those are the positions that a lot of people can take if you're on that journey and you're in the midst of that battle. But you want to be more like Christ. You want to be more like Christ, but you don't know how to let go of that side to think that you are superior or better or whatever it is, more educated, more knowledgeable. God will help you. The Bible says to be coming to the unity of the faith. What that means? On one accord. On one accord. Thinking the same thing. The Bible says have the same mind. The Lord can't even come back until we have a unity of the faith on the same level. And there are saints that are, they have that same level of love and they're walking in it. I came from one particular church that had it. That's how I learned to walk in it. That's how I learned to get into my heart. when you're around people that display the love of Christ in humility and genuineness, and you feel it, that spirit, you will adopt that spirit to know how to be a Christian and walk in that dimension of love and lowliness. Every church has situations when they can have love, humbleness, not always a battle with them. That's the beautiful thing when you can be at a church. You know, I didn't raise up in a church, but there was one of the churches I spent about 9 years of my life. And they had a love walk that just overwhelmed me. And being who I am and what God was doing in my life, he was perfecting that love, that there be no spot, a blemish in that walk of love. That's why you know what people think and what they have in their heart. The Bible says, don't have a root of bitterness. He says, let a root of bitterness spring up out of you, defiling many. You can defile many with your root of bitterness. Because people start acting like that and act like you, and you just, the Bible says, soft answer, turn away wrath. You know, if you don't have that spirit like that, you're just going to stir it up more. But we're striving for the mastery. And we also get to that place again by what God allow us to go through. You know how to chastise you and perfect you and give you the conviction that of how you should be, how you should have handled a situation in dealing with others. He helps us. So I just thank God again. I'm just flowing in the spirit, hearing what the Lord said, and we're going to close out now and thank you all again for tuning in. May the Lord continue to bless you with the word of the Lord. And until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful and blessed day.